5:32. We'll go ahead and get started. I'll call our November meeting, or sorry, October meeting of the Human Rights Commission to order. And roll call. Commissioner Mohammed.
Yeah.
Commissioner Kolash here. Commissioner Kadura, not present. Hansen, not present. Commissioner Priest.
Here.
Commissioner Losala. Commissioner Paul Schantz.
Here.
Commissioner Mendez Shannon.
Here.
And Commissioner Miller.
Here.
Great. Okay. All right. First item on our agenda tonight is to present the Heather Schenck Lifetime Achievement Award. Commissioner Kadura has joined us. Great. Our Human Rights Awards were last week. It was a great event. We honored some amazing people in the city. Unfortunately, our Lifetime Achievement Award winner was unable to join us, so we are happy to present that to them tonight. Heather Schenck was many things in her life, including a nurse and a lawyer, but the reason our Lifetime Achievement Award is named after her is that she spent the last decade plus of her career as a human rights coordinator for Iowa City. As coordinator, Heather implemented policies to prevent discrimination in areas of sexual orientation and gender identity, and also focused on bringing attention to bullying as a discriminatory practice. Because of this, Iowa City became a model for other communities, both inside and outside our state. Heather retired from her position due to illness and passed away in August of 2015. She was the fourth recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award, which was then renamed in her honor in October of 2015. Heather's passion was to give voice to the powerless and to fight human rights abuses. Today, Dr. Michael Flaum becomes the seventh recipient. Dr. Flaum is a professor emeritus of psychiatry at the University of Iowa who has spent decades bridging the gaps that exist between the many entities serving people with chronic mental illness. He is an expert in collaborative action, encouraging communication and coordination between emergency rooms, jails and prisons, community providers, governmental entities, housing providers, and medical professionals. This work began informally, but led to the monthly Systems of Care meeting that focuses on identifying gaps in care while exploring opportunities for improved collective impact and system change. Dr. Flaum was instrumental in starting and developing the GuideLink Center, whose mission is to provide immediate care for adults facing emotional, mental health, or substance use challenges. It offers 24/7 services, including rapid assessment, triage, stabilization, and follow-up resources. Staff work with individuals and their families to provide support as they transition to ongoing follow-up resources. Dr. Flaum was also a long-term volunteer with Shelter House, where he was essential to developing and establishing the first Fairweather Lodge home in the state of Iowa. The Fairweather Lodge is a recovery-focused, peer-driven, permanent supportive housing program for adults experiencing homelessness who are diagnosed with a serious, persistent mental illness. Dr. Flaum provided countless hours of psychiatric care for the program participants and tenants as the program grew to four lodge homes. Because of his leadership, care, and expertise, people who had previously been caught in a cycle of homelessness, hospital stays, incarceration, and unsuccessful housing placements are today stably housed, some for well over a decade. In addition to his professional duties and advocacy for community-based therapies, Dr. Flaum was well known for being available to any and all individuals experiencing mental health issues. He gives his time generously to anyone in need. I invite Dr. Flaum to come up to the podium and accept the Heather Schenck Lifetime Achievement Award and say a few remarks if you'd like.
Podium is there.
Well, I'll just very briefly say that this award really touched my heart. It was certainly something that I didn't expect. I see myself as a physician, that's my identity. And I don't see myself as a human rights activist, but I this award made me recognize how deeply I care about human dignity and how much I believe that the most vulnerable among us, it's so important for us to be there for them. It's so important for me. I learn so much. And the people that I tend to work with are people with serious mental illness who are really among the most disenfranchised among us. And so it's just been a great privilege. And again, I'm really thankful for this award. It means a lot to me. So thank you.
Thank you.
They gave me a very, very beautiful and really lovely...
You're good.
Thank you. What did I do?
I don't know, but you've got a great film.
Yeah, you should have seen how big.
Can you take one with my phone?
You're good.
No selfies. It's a really nice box.
Continue on with agenda item 3, our Native American land acknowledgement. We have a commissioner who would like to read tonight.
Sure, I can.
Thank you.
We meet today in the community of Iowa City, which now occupies the homelands of Native American nations to whom we owe our commitment and dedication. The area of Iowa City was within the homelands of the Iowa, Meskwaki, and Sauk, and because history is complex and time goes far back beyond memory, we also acknowledge the ancient connections of many other indigenous peoples here. The history of broken treaties and forced removal that dispossessed indigenous peoples of their homelands was and is an act of colonization and genocide that we cannot erase. We implore the Iowa City community to commit to understanding and addressing these injustices as we work toward equity, restoration, and reparations.
Thank you. Next, item 4, report from the Police Department's Community Outreach.
Hello, everyone. How are we?
Hi, Trey. Good.
Trey,
how are you?
Great.
I am Trey Hall. I work for the Iowa City Police Department, and I do community outreach. We've had an eventful past couple of weeks, really. It's only been weeks, but it feels like a month, more than a month. But we've done a lot of things. I talked about a couple of them at our last meeting that were coming to fruition, and they have since. So we had Brew with the Crew at the beginning of the month. It's just basically coffee and talking about different things that are happening. We had a great showing. It was at the Willow Creek Park at the beginning of the month. Really proud of that one. It's a big step from the last one that we had. I'm hoping it continues to grow, and we'll do them quarterly. So if you follow us on Facebook, we post about it a lot. We also do press releases, and it was on the radio as well. That's how I think a lot of people figured out from the radio. So we'll continue to do that. We also attended African Fest. Both myself and Joshua went to that. We had a booth right on the Ped Mall next to the main stage. It was awesome. We were there for the whole thing. I think we saw Commissioner Lasala there. We also met the new street outreach, Eben Senft. I don't know if you guys have met Eben from the shelter house, but he in the short time that he's been here is excellent. So if you guys get a chance to meet him, I would definitely do that. His name is definitely out there in the community. So that's EBENSENFT. Excellent resource. We recently went to a preschool off of Court and First, I think it is. Court and Muscatine. Court and First. Our Redeemer did just a squad tour. And then I have met with Community Violence Intervention just this past week. And we're working on a project that hopefully I'll have more information next week. But I have high hopes on it. It's going to be a good project. The Salvation Army at Pizza Ranch teamed up for Trunk or Treat last week on Thursday. It was a great event. There was probably 150 to 200 kids that walked through with their family, so that was excellent. We just had the winter clothing drive. That was about 2 weeks ago in the middle of October. That went excellent. We don't quite have the numbers yet, but we serviced three, almost four full days of people coming through. So definitely made a large impact. And one thing I want to note is it's not just Iowa City residents that are coming to these. It is Johnson County wide. So hopefully next time that we do it next year, we have more buy-in from every single city, not just Iowa City, because Iowa City always does a great job. And then coming up, we have Holiday with Heroes in December, which we do every single year. It used to be Shop with the Cop, but we don't want to be sued, so Holiday with Heroes it is. And then yesterday, we just kind of did an impromptu outreach on the Pentacrest and gave away candy and koozies and stress balls as just like a Happy Monday thing. So, yeah. Anything else you guys want to know, you let me know.
Thank you.
Thanks, Trey.
I have a question, Trey. So because of the SNAP, you know, issue with the food insecurity.
Correct.
If you know of any resources, it would be great to know that. Yes. If there's a way that you and I can chat, I'd like to share that with the community as well.
Off the top of my head, I know that the group for No Kings is having a basically pack the truck event. Okay. On the Pet Mall. I don't know exactly if the time or the date has been posted yet, but I know they're in the process of that. So that's definitely something to consider.
Awesome.
And then on top of that, obviously there's like community crisis.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, there's, you know, small fragments that people can utilize. But, I think community crisis, if you do have questions on that, they definitely will have more information on top of that. I know on Mondays, the senior center has their food drives that they do. There's lots of options, but you know, as that deadline does hit, they'll be more utilized. So
great. Thank you, Trey.
You're welcome.
I think that's a fantastic question. And piling onto that a little bit, Trey, I know you're not the coordinator of all social good within Iowa City, but I'm curious if you could also share the resources that you're aware of in communicating to residents of Iowa City that might be facing issues with their heating, especially with the lack of benefits now.
Absolutely.
As well as other cold weather supports that we have here as we will encounter more cold weather.
Yes. So one thing that I know the city does is that there are certain rules and regulations that landlords have to provide, whether that be heating or water. So if you're having issues while those are turned off and they are, I can't remember exactly, but I believe there is a date that those must be turned on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're past that or not. But one thing I would do is I would call the housing inspection. They can answer those questions for you on if that date has passed. And then if your landlord is not responsive to your request, then housing inspections can ask them and usually get a better response rate.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, Trey.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, tonight I've invited a group from Escuchamibos to present to us on the work they're doing with immigration and some of the challenges that we all know that are facing our communities of immigrants here in Iowa City and across the country. So, bienvenidos. Welcome tonight.
Hola, muy buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Heidi Bu Osorio, madre, trabajadora, residente de Iowa City.
Good evening. My name is Heidi Pu Osorio, and I'm a worker and an immigrant and a mother.
Emigramos a los Estados Unidos hace 4 años, buscando seguridad y un futuro digno.
We emigrated to the United States 4 years ago in search of safety and a dignified future.
En nuestro país, la situación negaba la oportunidad de vivir con paz y esperanza. Dejamos atrás nuestro hogar, pero nuestros deseos de vivir felices y en paz.
In our country, the situation denied us the chance to live with peace and hope. We left our home behind, but not our desire to live in happiness and peace.
Creemos que todos los seres humanos merecemos vivir con justicia, respeto y libertad, sin importar de dónde venimos.
We believe that all human beings deserve to live with justice, respect, and freedom, no matter where we come from.
Por eso nos organizamos, porque unidos tenemos el poder de cambiar nuestro presente y nuestro futuro.
That is why we organize, because united, we have the power to change our present and our future.
Solo juntos podemos defender nuestros derechos, resistir la injusticia y construir un país donde la dignidad no tenga fronteras.
Only together can we defend our rights, resist injustice, and build a country where dignity has no borders.
Exigimos la plena aplicación de la Cuarta Enmienda para que ninguno de los trabajadores inmigrantes sea acosado, detenido o violentado sin ninguna causa ni debido proceso.
We demand the full enforcement of the Fourth Amendment so that no immigrant worker is harassed, detained, or violated without cause or due process.
La ley debe de protegernos a todos por igual, porque la justicia no conoce un estatus migratorio.
The law must protect all of us equally, because justice knows no immigration status. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. My name is Wendy Castanon. Estamos en los Estados Unidos hace 9 años en busca de una vida segura porque en nuestro país la violencia se ha vuelto parte del día a día.
We emigrated to the United States 9 years ago in search of a safe life because in our country violence has become part of everyday life.
También venimos con la esperanza de encontrar una oportunidad de trabajo y de estudio, porque la pobreza en nuestras tierras nos cerraba las puertas a un futuro mejor.
We also came with the hope of finding opportunities of work and education because poverty in our homeland had closed the doors to a better future.
Dejamos atrás nuestro hogar, nuestra gente, nuestras raíces, pero no dejamos nuestros sueños ni nuestra dignidad.
We left behind our home, our people, and our roots, but we did not leave behind our dreams or our dignity.
Venimos porque creemos profundamente que todos los seres humanos merecemos vivir con paz, con justicia y con respeto, sin importar nuestra raza, nuestro idioma, el color de nuestra piel o nuestra religión.
We came because we deeply believe that all human beings deserve to live in peace, with justice and respect, regardless of our race, language, skin color, or religion.
porque la dignidad no tiene fronteras y la esperanza de una vida mejor es un derecho que compartimos todos.
Because dignity has no borders, and the hope for a better life is a right that we all share.
Por eso es fundamental organizarnos, unidos somos más fuertes y solo juntos podemos defender nuestros derechos, resistir a las políticas, injusticias de esta administración y alzar la voz frente a la discriminación y el abuso.
That is why it is essential for us to organize. United, we're stronger, and only together can we defend our rights, resist the unjust policies of this administration, and raise our voices against discrimination and abuse.
Para organizarnos, no solo es un acto de defensa, es un acto de esperanza y de poder colectivo.
Organizing is not just an act of defense, it's an act of hope and collective power.
Además, es una necesidad implementar plenamente la cuarta enmienda de la Constitución para que nosotros tengamos protección y seguridad en el trabajo.
Furthermore, it is necessary to fully implement the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution so that we have protection and safety at work.
Ninguna persona debe ser acosada o detenida o violentada sin causa ni debido proceso. La ley debe protegernos a todos por igual, sin importar nuestros estatus migratorios.
No person should be harassed, detained, or violated without cause or due process. The law must protect us all equally. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hola, buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Elida Contreras.
Good afternoon, or evening. My name is Elida Contreras.
En el condado de Johnson, las familias trabajadoras que sostienen nuestra economía enfrentan una crisis cada vez más grave, tanto en sus empleos como en sus hogares.
In Johnson County, the working families who sustain our economy are facing an increasingly severe crisis, both in their jobs and in their homes.
Aunque son esenciales en sectores como la construcción, el cuidado de niños, limpieza, la hotelería, la hospitalidad y los servicios de alimentos, muchas de estas familias están siendo acosadas por ICE en sus lugares de trabajo, obligados a vivir en condiciones de hacinamiento y sin acceso a los recursos que deberían brindarle estabilidad.
Although they are essential in sectors such as construction, childcare, cleaning, hospitality, and food services, many of these families are being harassed by ICE at their workplaces, forced to live in overcrowded conditions, and denied access to the resources that should provide them with stability.
Los gobiernos locales no solo tienen la capacidad de intervenir, sino también de la obligación de hacerlo.
Local governments not only have the ability to intervene, they also have the obligation to do so. And so that's why we're here asking you guys, the Human Rights Commission, to help us pass this resolution with the city. We don't want more cases like Jorge's to happen. And so I have a copy of the resolution for each of you, if you want it or you have it.
Okay. We have one. Yeah, thanks.
And thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So, commissioners, we received this via email, but I want to give you a minute to kind of review that resolution, and then if someone wants to move to approve that, to recommend it to City Council or discussion. Yeah.
If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Perfect. Yes. And any
for the conversation, then I would make the motion that we advance this to the City Council.
I second.
No, we can talk about it.
Now we can talk about it, yeah. And any questions?
I like learning about the language. I mentioned earlier about non-public workplaces, non-public spaces. Can you describe some of those?
Yes. So at workplace, there are private places or non-public and public. So let's say you go to a restaurant, the kitchen, it's a private place because it's only for workers, not for the public. At a hotel, it's the same, like the laundry room, it's just for workers, not for the public.
And then designating a private locked area. Can you describe that?
Yes. So sometimes the kitchen is just opened, so ice could just storm in. But if there was a door or a gate or something that can help them lock themselves, that would be helpful.
Okay.
When you say for training, so you're, in addition to the resolution, you're available to train first maybe local officials and then maybe have an open invite to the yes. businesses in town.
Yes, and workers. So business owners and workers and actually legal observers as well.
First, I just want to thank you all for being here, and thank you for your courageous organizing, and thank you for being leaders in our community. I hope that you come and sit up here, actually, and be a part of this someday, because you inspire me. I want to, like, especially, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with this entire resolution. I want to especially point out the community support section, and also if there's anything that you wanted to highlight there, because to the point about trainings and things like that, it's important that we put resources behind this, and that comes from either joint entities or the individual city councils within that too. So did you want to speak to any of the specific
needs? Yes. So the idea is not only for the city of Iowa City to implement this, but the other cities that belong to Johnson County, Coralville, North Liberty, all of them, if they can do it, because many of us live here and work there or vice versa. So it's fair.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Of course.
I have a vision for a lot of signage on a lot of buildings.
Yes, we could use more.
Well, I just, where do we get them?
We can make them.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I mean, I was just thinking that there's something the city has access to. You don't have to make them. We'll just encourage, churches to buy them and put them up. Okay.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about how the writing process of the resolution and who was involved.
Well, it's the Fourth Amendment, right? So out of that, what do we really need for workers to be safe? And right now, I mean, we see ICE storming in and just grabbing people with no warrants. Many of our workers know there's like their private place at work. Jorge knew it. He ran in there. He thought he was safe. Then the business owner came and grabbed him out. So how to educate the business owners about the rights they have, as well as the workers. Mm-hmm. Yes. And yeah.
Others? Have there been other incidents besides Jorge's? I know that was mostly publicized, but I don't know if there are others that
as big as Jorge.
Right, or smaller ones.
Jorge was big because he's like right there at the core of the
there
city.
There was a video that went viral, everything.
Exactly,
But what others are there maybe that we aren't aware of?
We know people at check-ins. There are many that we don't learn about, that we learn after it has happened, and then the family reaches to us. We know construction workers that go to Menards and get kidnapped. So Menards, if they had a private place, I don't know if that would help.
We know that the Bread Garden event with Jorge was intended to instill fear among us by ICE. It certainly did that, but I'm so grateful there was such a big crowd then to protest it.
Right. Yes.
I think I just want to emphasize one more thing and why I so appreciate you being here, truly. you are keep bringing your activism to this and highlighting the importance of it. And I just want to underline it, how awful it is and how much every member of our community should be concerned with what we're seeing, even if they don't see themselves in at risk or something like that right now. A threat to some of us is a threat to all of us.
Uh-huh.
And the use of state force in this way and the use of ICE resources in this way in our community is abhorrent. And so I'm really grateful for your advocacy on this issue, because this is just important for all of us and awful that you've had, that anyone in our community has had to go through this. So thank you.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
And before we go further with the resolution, just to take a step aside on that, and I want to echo what Commissioner Paulchant said, and also say that you have a standing invitation to come to our meetings every month and let us know how things are going, and what we can do. We're happy to consider the resolution here tonight, but help with trainings. That's one of the primary functions of this commission, is to educate the community on human rights and how rights are being effective, and as well as what rights we all have as individuals. So whatever we can do to help your cause, to help support you, please, I think we're all willing to jump in and help however we can. I think we want to make sure that our efforts align with what you're doing, and we aren't duplicating or going in against anything that you are doing, because I recognize that your group is really at the forefront of this issue and leading our community. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Y de verdad quiero agradeceros todos a venir aquí y hablar con nosotros y compartir su verdad y la tragedia y el impacto que estas políticas y leyes están teniendo en nuestra comunidad, porque todos ustedes son parte de nuestra comunidad. Gracias.
So just to be clear, you're asking that we adopt the resolution and that we propose it, we endorse it, and we propose it to City Council.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And then that comes with its own action steps after that.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So I move to endorse the resolution.
We've got that. Right. So any further discussion?
I just want to say thank you so much for being here. Everything has to start somewhere. And I think having people like you and the organizations, URN, it stands courageously and bravely in front of what we're facing right now. We're going against something so powerful, against federal and state laws. So sometimes we cannot carry through what we intend to, but at least it's a starting point. Even when history has passed, we can say that we did what we could do that moment, and we weren't silenced, we weren't scared, and we gave all possible, from ourselves to the community and to the people we care for. And again, as other commissioners says, a threat to one of us, a threat to all of us. So thank you so much for being here. And I hope no one gets daunted or shy away from keep seeking justice, even if things does not pass as we expect them to. So thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you guys for listening and endorsing it.
Thank you. I have one very practical question. I'm sorry. I noticed, do you have an upcoming joint entities meeting where you will be presenting this and talking about this further?
We
Is
did.
There any way in which the community can support you further beyond the initial presentation too?
I mean, always donating, mm-hmm. right? So we can print mm-hmm. or we can provide legal services.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it's needed so we can move forward with this.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Then let us vote on the motion to approve to endorse the resolution and recommend that City Council take it up for consideration. Right. Want to do a roll call vote on this, if that is okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Commissioner Priest.
Yes.
Kolash, yes. Paul Schantz?
Yes.
Mendez Shannon?
Yes.
Kadura?
Yes.
Mohammed?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
All right. Motion is approved unanimously. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get a quick photo here.
It's always so separated, so.
I know.
Yeah. Feel free to. Yeah.
Why don't we?
Should we stand?
What would you like us to do? Want us to come out there?
All right. Okay.
You read my book. We'll follow Kelsey. Okay. She knows what she's done.
In the picture, I'll take it.
No, that's okay.
Okay. Seth, do you want to be in picture?
Trey's taking it for me.
They say in Spanish, whiskey.
One more. One. Sorry, I didn't get it. One more.
Sure.
All right, ready? One, two, three. Okay. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Nice to meet you. I have the new phone that I pressed the button and I pressed your lock screen. I'm like,
oh, okay. So, what number is that? What is that, like 19 or something? Or whatever number they're on?
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming again. Okay.
They are giants.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, no one tell Dan Rowling that we may have a new official photographer. Moving on to the next agenda item, approval of our meeting minutes from September 23rd and the special meeting October 1st.
So move.
I will second both motions.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Yeah.
Okay. Motion is approved. Minutes approved. Yes.
I want to thank everyone for your support on this.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to advertise that.
Absolutely.
Acknowledge that. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yes. All right.
Yeah, it felt like we did something really significant to it.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah, it just felt good.
I'm sorry for moving on so fast. No, it's fine. Yeah. Public comment for items not on the agenda. See, we've cleared the room, so we'll move on.
You know, I missed the motion. Sorry about that.
Seconded by Paul Schantz. Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah. Correspondence.
I think it's. Of course, I don't have that.
Looks like we have a couple events in here.
Yeah. And I don't know. I didn't put it in again because I think it was in. Oh, no, good. So the Veterans for Peace event. Mm-hmm. November 11th, then the One Community, One Book is November 10th, and I've heard that that is a great book to read. Mm-hmm. Sad story, but very, very well written and gives a good experience of what she experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And then Community Connections Day and Veteran Stand Down Day. I know Kristen is going to staff that for the office, but if anybody wants to help her out, I'll be in the office covering. So, but if anybody else wants to join her on Tuesday, November 18th from 9 to 12, it's just across the street at the rec center in the social hall. So
that's great.
Just let me know.
All right.
Could I just invite Do we have a portion where we will speak about any of the previous October activities and commissioners at those, or could we just cover that here in our, since we're speaking about upcoming events? Sorry, Doug.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I think that's fine. Go ahead.
Did we have anyone?
I don't think you had.
Okay.
No, I don't think we did. But
thank you. Sorry.
Roger might have been the one.
Roger was at Africa Fest. Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Indigenous Peoples Day, right?
Yes, I would not table, but I have attended, Mark went before me and I wasn't able to catch up to him. So he left before I was there. But it was a lovely event. I think every time we go there, we learn a little bit more. And I think the weather was helpful too. And I'm not sure personally, I saw more diverse people this time than last year. Mm-hmm. So I think, the word is getting out and people are encouraged to attend such events. So I'm glad that I made it that day. Yeah. And I look forward to attend next year too. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, of course. All right. Looking ahead to our November meeting date and reschedule if needed, because we always fall during Thanksgiving week, correct? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we are currently scheduled for Tuesday, November 25th. First of all, is anyone unable to make it? Works for you? Works for me?
I will not be able to make
it.
No? I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. Do we want to be proactive and move it up to the week before, the 18th?
I would also not be able to do that, but I could do the week after. I'm not sure if we would just have one meeting between November and December months, or if we would schedule a second meeting in December.
Right, right.
So usually the commission doesn't meet in December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All
right.
So. But you could also do that, too.
Yeah. So December 2nd?
Mm-hmm. How does that coordinate with city council?
I was just going to say the 2nd also works for me, if that's possible.
Okay. Right.
I have to.
Yeah, we.
Yeah, you could meet, but you wouldn't be in this space.
We would have to be in here.
Yeah.
Might be kind of nice.
Or you could meet, I guess, Monday or Wednesday, too.
Monday or Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Either of those.
Even though I can't guarantee you'd be in this space either. The closer you get to the start of a month, the less likely rooms are available. So, but having said that, I mean, there's space right across the hall.
Okay. What about Monday the 1st? Then at least we have a shot at this room. Mm-hmm. Monday the 1st, going once.
It's really a nice day. It's Rosa Parks Day on the bus.
Well, yeah, perfect. All right.
Doable for me.
Let's do it. All right. So we will reschedule our November meeting to Monday, December 1st at 5:30.
Talia, does that also work for you? I know you said December 2nd would be okay.
Yep, that's perfectly fine.
Okay, thank Excellent. You.
Okay. Then
we have a plan.
Agenda item 10, since we've got our calendars out and talking about maybe meeting twice in December, instead of meeting in December, we could host a mixer/listening post.
I think Stevie said we don't meet in December.
Right, right. But I'm saying it's like we do this sort of thing instead. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Say more about what that would be.
I think we've done these before. I think it was at the library last time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, there was a actual event called Meet and Greet. And then I think, and I don't know if any of you were on the commission, but I know one December they did like coffee and cocoa.
Coffee and cocoa, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a couple of us are, at least a couple of us are there to take the pulse of the community, talk about what we do, listen to concerns from folks.
So can we all attend as commissioners, or does it have to be?
Now that's the question.
It would have to be less than a quorum.
Yeah. Okay, so it'd be less than five?
Correct.
Okay.
So four.
All right.
But, I mean, if you did it, say, again, like in March or something, you know, that's kind of how the city council does it. They just kind of rotate who shows up.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's okay. Not like anybody really misses the opportunity. It's just that you may not have it as soon as somebody else, but everybody gets the opportunity to participate.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be like on a Saturday or something?
I think they did. Has been done in the afternoon or evening. Mm-hmm. You two did it. Didn't you two do one at the library?
Yeah.
That was on a weekday, wasn't it?
It was.
I don't think
it was around 12, around lunchtime.
Around noon time.
Okay. So. But that was summer too, I guess. I didn't think about that. So that might make a difference. But yeah, it's just kind of when it works best for everyone.
I think less crowds will show up during weekdays. Like people are rushing through, you know, their business hours and things, and so I think it's better either in the afternoon, I mean, maybe early evening or weekends. I'm not sure.
Well, depending on how we promote it, we could be a magnet group, but.
Mm-hmm. Like, we do, you know, like a Sunday afternoon. Like maybe the 7th or something like that. We do like a Coco and Carols. We get a little group. We get a church group in to sing. That'd be fun. Or we could sing. I don't know. But yeah. But thoughts on that? Any, as I suggest, a Sunday, and I'm looking at my calendar and that doesn't, but you know, or you know, weekdays would be fine. A weeknight, early evening.
If we did Sunday, I think if we did like Cocoa and Cards.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
And had people make holiday cards, that would be pretty fun. I know I am not a singer.
I like that, yes.
So
we'll do recorded music, and I like the card idea.
I think people can still break into song, though, if they want to. Yeah. Definitely. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sounds like a great idea to me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Maybe we could do like a doodle poll via email and see who.
Sure.
Does that work?
And this would be for the 7th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first, probably sometime the first 2 weeks of December.
Mm-hmm. Is this also a time where, like, how does it work since we're talking about events? When do we meet with the city council about the resolution? Is that in November and December, or we just wait and get on the calendar?
No, so all you're doing is making a recommendation to the city council. So any next steps is within their purview. It doesn't guarantee a seat at the table or anything.
Or have to be there.
Right. So, yeah, we'll pass that along. But I think if we reach out to city council members to encourage them to bring that up on their agenda, then that would help them. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So if we could do a doodle poll on just a couple, you know, what dates work for you in the first 2 weeks of December.
But I'm looking at weekends, or do you want me
to include weeknights too?
Weeknights.
Yeah, we could do a couple of those, like early, you know, like 5:30, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. Hopefully we can get four of us together on a certain day, on one day. All right. Okay. Agenda item 11, our commission work groups. Let's see. Did we have anything from the transportation work group?
You know, I might. I need to let Jeremy know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That got added, and I never reached out to him, so he doesn't know. So I will make a note to reach out.
Okay. Great. Let's see. Access, quality of life.
We haven't met, but I have started compiling information on the person of size ordinance, human rights ordinance in Minneapolis. So that's my general update on that piece.
All right, great. That works with the ordinance revisions. Okay, immigration. I know we had...
The last time Roger said he'd do it, if I agree, so I agree.
Okay.
But I do have an update. So yeah. Regarding immigration, as you can tell, Escucha Mi Voz is in the lead of that, being a champion of the voice of what's happening. But also tomorrow, Escucha Mi Voz is holding a work session open to everyone in the community for SNAP information. And there is this possibility to consider a partner workshop with the police. There was a lot of the questions raised around what were their rights with the police in town, and then also ICE represents the federal line. So there's some confusion around that, and so it'd be important to have some points to understand for clarity and rights. So that's been sort of on the agenda.
Great. All right. Kelsey, community outreach.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. So it's really great to have a team on this now. So Doug and Talia and I met briefly after our last meeting, more than briefly, actually. We had a great, thorough conversation. We do have a plan of our next steps. We are now just coordinating our own schedules and making those next steps happen. So we will have the first of our dialogue series, if you will, before the end of this year. And bear with us, we've had some travel and sickness and busyness amongst ourselves and getting that established, but we're working towards that.
Fantastic. And housing. Any updates? Housing, anyone?
Can you remind me on which working group I'm on? Because I can assure you, I haven't met with her. Old minutes?
Don't have that in my, yeah, old minutes maybe.
I don't think it's fully there. We just reestablished them, formated. Miller and Harkin will work on non-discrimination policy and expansion. Miller will lead on non-discrimination, and Harkin will lead on housing. Immigration, Mendez, Shannon, and Lusala.
And Priest.
And then, is it?
Harkin will lead on housing, it says. So, okay.
Oh, Emily's on housing?
Yeah.
And so, Mark, you added the idea of having community mm-hmm. members join us in these spaces, but I don't have a record of which one you wanted to be in.
Yeah, I don't
know. Well, I probably should be on one.
I will just say on housing, now that this has refreshed my memory, I think I had offered to Emily that I would support her in that. We have not met.
And so, Emily's not on community outreach with you?
No.
No.
Is?
Doug Talia. And Talia.
Okay.
And then, in addition to that, Lubna, I'm not sure that we have your participation in any of the working groups, if you would like to be a part of them.
Yes. But they have to choose, or you choose for me?
I think I support you choosing.
Mm-hmm. Housing. Yeah.
Housing.
Yes. Great.
Mm-hmm. Vienna as well has to choose.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking immigration.
To do exactly. Mm-hmm.
What'd you say? I didn't. Can you repeat that, Lubna? I'm sorry.
I said what we have to do exactly.
Oh.
So housing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be up to each of the working groups to determine what they can do and what they want to do based on needs and issues identified in the community. And so these working groups are really in some ways meant to figure that question out and figure out the need to and build ambition and action from the Human Rights Commission. So with housing, Lubna, the next step for us would be to just meet with Emily and I would say align on the updates, especially since our last meeting we had the housing statement and working with the groups that are really affiliated with housing quite especially too.
So you're on that group also, Kelsey?
Okay.
Housing?
I had offered to Emily just because I was here, but I don't need to be. And in fact, I would step off if there wanted to be more space.
That.
Okay.
Great.
All right. And then Vianney said immigration. I think there's room with Liz and Roger there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I recall that I saw that weekend, this is like a flexible, you know, work groups, you know, like outlines that we can expand on it or add to it later on, right?
Yes. Yep.
So I'm trying to think, I'm working on something, and hopefully if I can get, you know, an idea about how to work it, and I can share it with you next time, maybe.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you. But for now, yes, I can join the immigration for now.
Okay. Great. All right. Excellent. All right. Agenda item 12, GrantNet updates.
That would be me. We are having our meeting November the 12th. It is a meeting number 2 where we do a check-in. But this time we will dive a little bit more deeper into assessing the landscape of each of the programs and really talking about what's happening on the ground and how we can help each other.
Excellent. Excuse me. Item 13, professional development opportunities for commission and community members. I think talking about community members again, I can come back to that immigration conversation and the training there. And the potential for us to be involved in that space.
So there was already a training, and it was more for workers to know. And through that was born, we should invite all business leaders, and we should invite, because you'll notice some business leaders already have a sign in their window that they made. And it basically it says, no ice allowed here. But we're hoping that with more information is power, really knowing your rights and what is possible, and that business owners and workers can say, this is my spot, this is where I'm safe, this is where I can go, and be able to navigate those rights, especially now with the resolution.
Question about that. When they put the sign for no ice allowed, mm-hmm. is that going to be like they're going to obey that, or they're going to say, no, we have more power?
Don't know. That's not anything that I've done. That's just the business owners who have put that on their door and window.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I wonder if maybe there's an opportunity on any additional Know Your Rights training, especially for our private business members of the community, to maybe collaborate with Escucha Mi Voz in case they're already thinking along those lines. And I'd be happy to suggest a couple of names that are really well connected to the business community as you go about that too.
Be great.
Okay.
Another thought that I have there is for community members who are allies, who are not immigrants. So, when you see something happening, what are your rights? What can you do? And how can you help?
Is there a business network in town?
Okay. There are a couple, right?
Okay.
Chamber of Commerce.
There was a chamber, downtown, but now they've merged into district. Something else that Nancy Bird runs or Katie Gerlach. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what that group is.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. The Greater Iowa City, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In addition to that, we had a conversation in our working group on community dialogues and community outreach on the opportunity for interpersonal conflict resolution training for individuals and groups. And I will continue to look into that if there's an option for our community especially. But there are some great facilitated trainings out there that help either train people as individuals to be a part of moderating conversations or just to even be self-aware of their own interactions and how to more peacefully resolve their own interpersonal disputes and conflicts. So if you all agree, I think that would be a great thing to still continue to pursue, and I will continue to share updates as I look into that.
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. That brings us to item 14, staff and commissioner member updates. Stephanie, we'll start with you.
I just want to thank everyone for another great Human Rights Awards breakfast. So yay. Thought it was really, really good. 41st one, so so that's huge in and of itself, right? Yeah. So, but yeah, thanks to each of you. So everybody had their part to make it successful. So kudos, hats off.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you. And we all have our part, but it is a mere fraction of what you do to pull that event off. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Other updates from commissioners, since I've already talking, I'll go. I know Trey brought this up in the police outreach. With the No Kings group doing a kind of food drive, if SNAP benefits do indeed not happen in November, with colder temperatures, holidays, everything, it is both heartbreaking and infuriating that this is happening. But I think it is, an opportunity for the community to come together and for us to maybe work to bring the community together. So even before, Trey mentioned that tonight on the way here, I was thinking of in my head I called it snap into action to fill that gap. And, if it's an event and that we can, if it's us putting a QR code for the community food bank on a sign and walking around where we go, if we can put boxes out places, something. But if we could put together a quick little task force of three or four of us that just can come up with as many ideas as possible that we can put together to help gather food donations, gather monetary donations. Because I think the amazing resources that we have may soon be depleted or overwhelmed. So just want to throw that out there. Willing to help out. And if we put three or four of us together to come up with ideas, then we can say, okay, maybe you're not one of the three or four that are meeting, but if you want to help, we can, give you something to do, right? So happy to have that discussion if anyone wants to, reach out and do that in the next few days. So
yes.
All right. Okay. I think that's all I had then.
If it's okay, I might go next just because I do have to head out at 6:45. First, lovely to see you all. Thank you for your efforts in the community, and thank you for who you are. I have been traveling a lot for work at the moment, and I just want to mention one thing I'm really, really excited about and actually can invite all of you to join if you're interested. On November 12th, actually just before the event that Commissioner Mendez-Shannon was sharing, we will have a virtual launch of the edited volume that I've had the privilege of working on for the last almost 5 years. It's an edited volume on a new kind of cross-silo concept of identity-based mass violence in urban contexts. through which we're really trying to uncover how everyday violence is connected with mass violence. That when we are talking about systemic levels of violence against some people in communities that is ignored, justified, overlooked, deliberately not addressed, that is large-scale and widespread mass violence. This is a positive volume, actually, and we are fortunate to have contributors who are not just academics, but we also have those who have lived experience with violence, who we ask them, you tell us how you want to add to this volume, how you want to contribute to this volume and be an author. So that means that we have poetry, we have ethnographic journalism, we have first-person narratives and storytelling. It's a really kind of beautiful picture of, I think, how an edited volume can meet people where they are and incorporate lived knowledge as evidence as we're building concepts. I'm already talking too much, but November 12th at 11 a.m. Central Time for 1 hour. If you want to join, let me know and I'll get you the link. Would love to have you there.
You say 11 a.m.?
Yes. And this will be probably the only public event that we do for this one at this point in time, but there probably will be more down the line. And then the following week, I will be in the UK as we launch the English version of the volume in the United Kingdom. We will subsequently have a Spanish version of the volume, which we will launch in a Spanish-speaking country. But in the UK, we will be at the Tate Modern, at King's College London, at University College London, at the House of Lords in Parliament, at the University of Oxford, and finally in Bristol at a boxing gym that has a program for young people to integrate mental health therapies into their box therapy program.
Can I just say wow? You're kind of glowing over there. I love it. Privilege. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. So it's the culmination of one thing, but truly it's the start of another, which is there's a lot of solutions within cities and within communities that really we're just trying to connect with one another and to really address that it's possible to have solutions that address how people are experiencing violence in their communities and create more peaceful communities at the same time.
Thank you.
So thank you, guys. Thanks for letting me talk about that for a second. I appreciate your support.
I'm going to kind of step into that. One of the things that every first Friday of the month, Leslie and I go to the Interfaith Alliance Intersections. So the first Friday of October, we saw experienced a presentation on pronatalism. Mm. It's extremely racist. And being advanced, you know, we need more white babies. This, on November 7th, we're going to hear about how bad ideas spread. The other thing is, I participated in that webinar, the book we read, No Peace, No Place for Us, Working Poor. It's one of the saddest books I've ever read. Mm-hmm. I was really glad I got to read it and listen to the author. In relation to that, the next day we went to the movie Good Fortune. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do this about the arts. The arts, Good Fortune is about the homeless working poor. It was just two guys reversed. And what a difference that made. I was at the No Kings March. It was a powerful experience. There were about, 1,000 or 1,500 in the Pentecost. Hmm. The other movies that I've seen is Eleanor the Great. It's about the Holocaust in Germany. Kiss of the Spider Woman is about the dirty war in Argentina. The arts just teach us so much about what's going on and invites us into deeper, deeper look. So I encourage you to experience that. On November 10th, I'm going to be to meet these two women, Jean Ju and Carolyn Chalmers, the author of this book. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've had a time to read it. This is a great example and happened in Iowa City where sexual harassment and racial harassment was happening in the university community and a federal court judge found the university guilty and the there was conversation among the Board of Regents to appeal the decision. And it was the public, the university community, also within the city, that rose up and distributed the federal court judge's ruling along with, did you know? And the university did not appeal. It was pioneering. Seventh and ninth. What are those? That for women athletes.
Title IX.
Title IX, oh. Title VII, Title IX. The university paid the attorney's fees in Minnesota $895,000. It's extraordinary lawyer work, but it's also an extraordinary testimony about what a community can do.
Viana or Liz?
I can go really quick.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, go ahead.
So I have been working on organizing some events around disability and body size in the community. I will have more updates on when those events will be for sure by our next meeting. And then I just wanted to quickly share a book that I've been reading that I think, if you are interested in community and how to build real like community support, there's a book called Care Work, Dreaming Disability Justice, and it is from a disabled activist and writer. And it really talks about how disabled communities really know how to build community because they've had to. It was an option for survival, and it was what really kept them, you know, keeps them going, not kept them, like it is still a vibrant community now. But I think it's a good case study for community organizing as a whole. And I feel like in our community, we often forget about folks with body diversity differences. And so I would highly, highly, highly recommend, you know, cruising through this book. It's not super long. It's pretty short. It's an easy read. It's really beautiful. But it'll definitely shift your perspective on community connection and care networks and that kind of stuff. So that's all I had.
Lubna, do you have any updates?
Not really. Thank you.
Okay. You know, I don't have that many updates, but I have to share something. That what's going on back home in Palestine, people in Gaza never learn to heal, and they will never heal as they should, but they learn to endure. And it's ongoing, and it's been going for more than 70 years. And what they are facing right now is beyond what we can comprehend or handle. But beside that, not only the Palestinians are suffering. In Darfur, in Sudan, in I think it's called Al-Fashir, the name of the city, just only in the past 2 days, the Rabid, you know, what's called the Rabid Support Forces, they have killed more than 2,000 civilians, just women and children, lynching and just, you know, sniping and killing, just catastrophe. If they don't kill them, they starve them to death. They have been committing war crimes in Sudan. And this impacts us locally. And the people, they cannot comprehend that, you know, what do we have to do with this? Because most of the Sudanese community that I work with in here, every penny they make here, they save it to send it back home for their families to survive. And now imagine they have to endure and they have to try to how to work it out if their loved ones are being, you know, kidnapped or they are not aware, you know, about their whereabouts and they have even to pay more money for other people to go search for them, to go, you know, try to assist in finding them or, you know, so it's impacting our local community. And there are so many of them right here who are really struggling now with the SNAP that's going on and with the ICE agents, with the immigration policies, with everything. So they're bombarded with too many aspects, not only one thing. So, you know, we have to just to be careful when we work with those, you know, immigrant group, because what they are facing in their country right now in Sudan is beyond what they can take. So we have to assist them in somehow, at least by acknowledging their pain, and they are doubled and tripled in their burdens and in their, you know, worries about the families back home and how to support them. So, you know, it is a sad reality that we have to witness, and we have to be, you know, feeling sometimes helpless to do anything with all those people around the world who are just needing our help. And they are families, they are friends, they are people that we have to care for. They are humans. So just keep them in your prayers and keep your thoughts when you work with the Sudanese community that they are going through so much right now. Thank you.
All right. Just a quick update. Acknowledging the need for us to support each other and establishing some care in your realm of influence and impact, your community. Having to support this process of understanding ICE and their impact is such emotional work as well. And just knowing that I felt that I could at least, you know, show up as a way to support was helpful. And sometimes that's what we can do, is just to be there and be a support. So that's all I have to say.
I move to adjourn.
A second.
All right. With that, we are adjourned.